Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6 next, everybody. Beautiful day in Jerusalem. Rain or shine. Isaiah 6 then, verses 1 through 5. Have you ever gone through a day without brushing your teeth? And the breath really kind of tastes foul. But we're not only talking about that here, but even more so in a spiritual sense. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. Now, I want to start at the beginning, okay? Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also Yahweh sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We're singing another scripture song there. Rather, we're reading it. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two, or twain, he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Kadosh, 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 not Kadesh, but Kadosh, is Yahweh of the armies. The whole earth is full of his esteem. Not glory, but esteem. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of the armies. And then over to Amos now, turn right, go past Jeremiah and Ezekiel and some of the other prophets to Amos 6, verses 1 through 3. And, yeah, that'll be fine. That'll be great. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. That could be spelled in Hebrew T-S-I-O-N. It can be pronounced in English with a Z. Those that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of the northern tribes came. Pass you unto Calneh and see, and from thence go you unto Hamath the great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? You that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and so to speak, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music, like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. You know, they're not grieved for the affliction that we are receiving, particularly the Jews, those that are being thrown out of their homes. Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State, back in the about 2005, was partly responsible for, you know, six or 8,000 homes, Jewish homes, that they had to move out of. Now, I don't know what kind of people dwelled in there, but you know, we're all responsible, of course, for the affliction we receive, unless we just happen to get in the wrong place at the wrong time in the line of fire there. Back to Isaiah 16:4, talking about the judgment of Moab here for a little bit. We talk about the negative side of how things are due to our unclean way of thinking and living, the unseparated hearts. We are sun worshippers, and, you know, although we've confessed that we were, and that we changed, we came out of sun worship, we still have some of those trappings of sun worship in our lives that we need to be ridded of or voided out of our lives. And sometimes it just takes somebody else to tell us. It takes another prophet like ourselves to be able to see that beam in our eye. Hopefully he's got the beam out of his, but I don't care if he doesn't. I still want to hear it. And there I'm saying a lot, I realize. But, I want to be corrected in love. Some people have corrected us not in love, but several cases that even helped us, even though they had the wrong spirit about it. That doesn't condone the method, does it? But they should have had the right method. Isaiah 16, the judgment on Moab for three verses, 4 through 7. 1, 2, 3, 5. That's actually four verses. 4 through 7, because you have to include the first and last in your reconciliation of the numbers. 6, verse 4. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Okay. And, wait a minute, how did I get back to that? I guess, because I repeated it in the notes, I guess. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of the armies. So there we have a repeat of Amos that we had read there earlier. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, the judgment of Moab. My mind is, hopefully not a million miles away, but I said 16, 4 through 7. I do that now and then. What causes that? Let my outcast, 16, verse 4. Double check here. Let my outcast, mine outcast, dwell with thee, Moab. Be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler, for the extortioner is at the end. The spoiler seizeth. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. What I get out of that is, what are you going to do? Help Yahweh's people. And what are you going to do? Help his enemies too? You're just going to kind of help everybody and do random acts of kindness without any discretion. Go down to the rescue mission and just give your time and money away to just anybody who's standing there. And then they say, thank you. Now, what time is supper? Well, Brother Stephaniah, some of them are going to be converted anyway. Okay, but you should use a little bit of discretion, don't you think? I think it would be a little more careful would be to deal on the side of whom Yahweh will send us to. You can scatter your seed wherever you like, but hopefully you're not helping the enemy. If you're helping a Muslim man who's going to the mosque, and he is supporting violence by going there. It's a peaceful mosque. It's a peaceful country. It's a peaceful, let's say, in somewhere in New York. All right, it's peaceful. But he is assisting someone out there to do violence, as well as someone who attends the, some of these WWC, the World Council of Churches, WCC, World Council of Churches, if he attends a United Methodist Church, it might be that, in fact, every member there believes fairly well like they did 100 years ago, but they are supporting those who today are in that denomination in the WCC. They're helping them to promote sexual immorality and the one world government, one world religion, just by attending a particular synagogue, mosque, or church building. Because they're not using discretion. They're not seeing the whole picture or the thrust of that particular denomination. The thrust in its end is to promote violence, is to promote homosexuality or the killing of Jews or something. Why do you want to support something like that out there? That's not conducive to the kingdom of Yahweh. Sure, you're helping some people, but you're also doing some bad. I could say a lot of other things, but I won't. Not because for fear, but just because we need to move on here and talk about the feast. Keep it a little shorter. So verse 5, that's Isaiah 16:5, and in mercy, I had to get my message in. In mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging. And he shall sit there judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. So he's not promoting like these people in the previous verse. He's not promoting a little bit of righteousness and also a mixture of evil, even though it might be slight. Yahweh doesn't want to have anything to do with compromising, at least, you know, compromising in a negative toward the decaying sense of decaying our sexual morality. Let the bed be undefiled. The marriage be undefiled. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud, even of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath. But his lies shall not be so. Therefore shall Moab howl for Moab. Everyone shall howl. I'll stop right there and move on to the next one. The judgment on Babylon. That can include all of us. At least, you know, we who are living in this modern society in the world somewhere, whatever country you're in, you're probably subject to, you know, the Roman time, the time of year, the time of day, the day ending at midnight instead of, you know, when it should be, and the economy, the corrupt political and economic systems, the whole thing is Babylon, especially the religious significance of where we are at right now in society and different ones. Love them all, you know, most of them are great people, it seems like, but where the world is today is here in Isaiah 13:19. I don't know where I come up with all these things. Well, yes, I do. By reading the Word. That's what affects our worldview, is by constantly being in touch with Yahweh through His law, through His prophecy. Where is verse 19? There it is. And Babylon, the esteem of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when Yahweh overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Close to that. Once again, we're reading Isaiah 13. As we continue in verse 20, it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall be there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. It's just going to be a desolate place. Yahweh is the desolator. Or is that right? Is he? Well, I'm sorry, but anyway, the word desolator comes to mind. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant places. Excuse me, palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. The days of my good vision are not going to be prolonged either, unless Yahweh comes along quickly. I'm using the giant print here and a brand new scripture that Brother Pastor Terrell gave me years ago, and now it's very useful. So moving in these last days to the next passage of scripture, that is in chapter 23. All that to move on to some more negative scriptures here for one more about Tyre, T-Y-R-E, 23:15, all right, 23 and chapter 24 also, 23:15, and it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of our king, after the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot. Take a harp, go about the city, thou harlot, thou hast been forgotten. Make sweet melodies, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass, after the end of 70 years, that Yahweh will visit Tyre, and shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world. That Yahweh will visit Tyre, and she, Tyre, will commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. I know of one large religion that is already doing that, if not several. And her merchandise and her hire shall be separation unto Yahweh. It shall be Kodesh. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before Yahweh to eat sufficiently, and for durable clothing. I just have to make one quick adjustment there to our recording device. There we go. So 24, chapter 3 now. Go to the next chapter. Oh, I like this, though. Verse 1. Behold, Yahweh maketh the earth empty. I should like it all. Maketh the earth empty, and makes it waste, and turns it upside down, and scattered abroad the inhabitants thereof, and it shall be, as with a people, so with a priest. As with a servant, so with his master. As with a maid, so with her mistress. As with a buyer, so with a seller, and with a lender, borrower, so with a taker of usury, so with a giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for Yahweh has spoken his word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth, the arrogant, the haughty, the egotistical people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the Torah. They have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Let's go to verse 6. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. What a mournful thing. The new wine mourns. The vine languishes. All the merry-hearted do sigh. Where do we see that? I mean, there's prosperity, isn't there? There will be. Things are going to be looking up here. We got to go through the hard times to get to the good times. Somebody said that no pain, no gain. So I guess that doesn't mean that we work. I'm sure we don't earn our salvation by our own works. Even the works that Yahweh has wrought in us, we don't earn our salvation by those either. The only way we get to eternity, to get to be within the New Jerusalem, is by his unmerited favor that he shed for us on the tree of Calvary. Trust in him today. Be immersed in his love. Somebody said, well, what about the thief on the cross? I'm not going to be immersed. The thief didn't have to be. Now, for one thing, he was in the Old Covenant. The thief died in the Old Covenant. For another thing, there was a comma in there that was not in the Hebrew. But that's another thing. That's something else. But we must be immersed in Yahweh's name. That's part of the gospel. Part of the evangel, folks, is to be immersed. If you haven't done that yet, there's still time. The Feast of Tabernacles is a nice warm time of the year. And in a positive connotation, let's go to the next chapter. Go to chapter 26. Okay. Verses 1 through 5. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Yehuda, or Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation. I've never seen this song in print. We have a strong city. Salvation will Yahweh appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open you the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. That could be your motto there, if you're keeping the truth. Isaiah 26, now to verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust you in Yahweh forever. For in Yahweh is everlasting strength. In Yahweh, and it says here Jehovah, that's incorrect, there was no J. The J came later on, just like the W came later on. Yahweh, YHVH, is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down therein that dwell on high the lofty city. He layeth it low, that lofty court. He layeth it low, even to the ground he bringeth it, even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. But the first four verses, trust in Yahweh forever. Even when the feast is over, and you get the, what is sometimes called, if I could use it, the feast day blues, we get back to our normal activities, and back to that other culture, and so on, where everything isn't so controlled in a positive, healthy way here. You get out there in the city, and do your shopping or something. Trust in Yahweh then. Trust in Him to bring you to the everlasting courts, to the Feast of Tabernacles, to Zechariah 14. Trust in that. Look forward to a joyful time in Yahweh. The last days are, well, for all practical intents, are right around the corner for me. I can't live another 50 years on this earth. I'm gone. I'm going to be with Him when He comes to take His bride away, whether I'm in the grave or whether I'm standing literally on the earth at the time. 30 verse 17, and note especially verse 19 when we get to it there, but we're starting at 17. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will Yahweh wait, that He may be great unto thee, and there unto you, rather. Therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you, for Yahweh is a mighty one of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. For the people shall tabernacle at Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very favorable unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When He shall hear it, He will answer thee. When He hears your cry, He will answer you, according here to Isaiah 30. And though Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk you in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, you shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Then shall He give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt, the rain, R-A-I-N, of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal and the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. The oxen likewise, and the young asses that ear the ground, shall eat clean provender. Ear the ground. I wonder, you know, obviously in context, that means that they're going to be eating from the ground. I wonder if I look in the King James Companion under ear, if it would give us, now some of you are reading modern versions, I know, but those are the Alexandrian versions. It's not in this, but I was looking in the King James Companion, over 500 words, archaic words, defined by Dave Daniels. But ears wasn't significant, I guess. Probably wasn't used that many times here. That the oxen shall eat, the young asses shall eat clean provender, which has been winnowed with a shovel and with a fan. And by the way, you can get that companion there from giveshare.org. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day, waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that Yahweh binds up the breach of the people and heals the stroke of their wound. Behold, the name of Yahweh cometh from far, F-A-R, burning with His anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and His tongue is a devouring fire. Now, I read that with, emphasis and special meaning, but if you read it to yourself someday, bookmark that, Isaiah 30. It'd be wonderful talking about these last days, and verse 19 especially, which said, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very wonderful unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. The King James word there that I changed is gracious. I don't use that anymore. Favorable is another correct translation, but I could go back to the Hebrew in Strong's Concordance. In the E5 Bible program under Strong's Concordance, and it would give me an instant readout. I just put my mouse over the word, and instantly there it is. That's E5 group, And it's very difficult to discover that actual disc that has that program on there. They're phasing it out or something. It's making it hard to find, but I could tell you, if you have trouble finding the Strong's Concordance interactive, computer interactive program, I could tell you exactly how to get that. Isaiah 32, verse 4, in these last days again, these last days, that they were last days when the apostles were here, but they're even closer. They're 2,000 years closer than when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul, and all were here. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. That'll help me a lot. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl or the rude said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work in iniquity or lawlessness, to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against Yahweh, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Now, things have come to this point now. That's what's happening there, is they're malignantly dealing with Yahweh's word. They're maliciously altering the meanings, and when, especially when it comes to the law. They don't have any problem with the law. The problem is the Sabbath, that is, with our time, that we don't want to give up time because we're humanly selfish if we don't have Yahweh's spirit in us. We don't want to say that he can specify a certain day that we're to gather together with others. We want to just say, well, I'll just keep it to myself. And then we go out all day in the boat catching fish or something. That's not the right spirit. That's contrary. So the issue is the time. It's not the law. It's the time, our time. We have no time to give him other than 45 minutes a week. Not you or not me, but a lot of people that you run into these days in the last days. How far do you read here and then 32? Maybe I need a break or something here in 32, verses 4, and then 15 through 18, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and the righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be shalom. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. See, I've been to Sabbath Hebrew class. I know the word shalom. I may not know the Shema by heart, Deuteronomy 6, but I do know shalom. I know Kodesh means to be separate or be pure. I know a lot of them. More than the average who goes to those classes, I know practical knowledge about Yahweh's word when it comes to the Hebrew, as to, you know, what's been changed and that we need to switch it back to what it's supposed to be, or as close as we know how. The translators were not even close to the truth. They didn't understand what we do these days. So then to the next chapter for about 10 verses there. 33, that is Isaiah 33:14 to 24. 33:14 says, "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" Oh, no, Billy Graham even said that hell isn't forever. He'd make a good Jehovah's Witness. "He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, and stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks, bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thy heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counts the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou can perceive, or can understand, you know, a deeper speech than you can understand, of a stammering tongue that thou cannot understand. Refer to Isaiah 28:11. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the magnificent, the esteemed Yahweh will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, whereon shall be no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For Yahweh is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver. No, the law was done away with. No, Yahweh is our lawgiver. Yahweh is our king. He will save us. He's our delivery. He's our salvation. He is our lawgiver. The law, Torah, means love. 1 John 5:2. It means love. To love Yahweh is to keep his commandments. There it says 1 John 5. These other people know that. Thy tacklings are loosed. They could not well strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided. The lame take the prey. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. There's going to be a lot more mercy than I would give and realize. And that some of you that are way too harsh on others, that we need to learn how to forgive. But we don't want to be more righteous or try to be more righteous. You can't do that, but we don't want to be more forgiving or more merciful than Yahweh and that his word would allow for. We don't just condone everything and say, well, that's okay. You know, I used to do that and we all sin, so what's the difference? We don't get into that kind of compromising spirit to where we can just condone anything and any person that comes along. We have to use a little bit of discretion. Follow Yahweh to that? Well, I hope so. Come near you, you nations, to hear. And we're reading now in 34:1 of Isaiah. Come near to hear and hearken, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of Yahweh, or the anger we might be able to say there, is upon all nations, and his fury is upon all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. Oh, yes. Isn't it great to read these things and we sit here or stand, whatever you're doing, and then the preacher, the teacher, he can fill the pulpit. And some would say, boy, he's always so spiritual when he's in the pulpit. Maybe he should stay in the pulpit. You know, he shouldn't leave it. Because every time he does, it seems like he's flying off the handle. And, well, that may or may not be that might be a good thing. Because of all the promiscuity and the evil and the destitution of the truth and the dealing treacherously with the orphan and the widow and the poor, the cast down. I mean, Yahweh's poor people. That's enough to get angry about, isn't it? So, no, I'm not always happy either about the situations around the world and what people are into. But it's in the context of this feast of tabernacles, that's neither here nor there. I'm just saying that I can relate to somebody who looks like he's flying off the handle and angry all the time. When we walk in the Spirit, we see that things aren't the way they should be. They could be a whole lot better. And in fact, we see that in our whole lifetime, things have decayed. They've gotten a lot worse. And we can still be joyful in our heart. But, like even the talk show hosts on the radio, that I'm not too happy about at all right now. I'm hoping that people will come out of this and come out of sin, so that they can enjoy the blessings and not be under the law. They wouldn't be in bondage, sin, if it weren't for their hard-heartedness or lethargy or apathy to just, you know, continue to slide down the hill with everybody else. 34:8 in Isaiah, for it is the day of Yahweh's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. This is the equivalent to reading in 2 Peter, where it says that the earth is going to be burned with fire, and that we'll have a new earth and a new heaven. And the heaven might just be the, you know, the atmosphere over us, a new atmosphere and a new earth. So I'm not against that, because he's going to make it better. We'll have better, you know, the streets will even have better pavement. They'll be made out of gold, it says in the book of the Revelation. Verse 10, it shall not be quenched. These fires shall not be quenched night or day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the pelican, or cormorant, and the bittern, so two unclean birds, cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also, and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. People are confused right now. They don't know, you know, which church should I go to? Well, none of them. No, there are a few good people out there, but it varies. I might recommend a certain assembly, and then you'll go there, and it turns out that particular week that they completely speak against Yahweh's word. So that's, you know, how could I truthfully recommend anywhere like that? But you can't just stay away forever either. You've got to find somewhere where you could fit in and at least help out a little bit. But that doesn't mean you'd stay there forever. Verse 12, they shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all her princes shall be nothing. And thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof, and it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. We're reading the word of Yahweh here. There shall the vultures, don't text message. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek you out of the book of the law of Yahweh and read. No, it didn't say law. It said, my eyes misread it. The book of Yahweh, although it is the same. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them. And he has cast the lot for them, and his hand has divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. To generation, from generation to generation, shall they dwell therein. Okay, let's see. Now we've been going for 38 minutes, but I'm going to try to finish here. Where are we at now? 34. So we'll go to the next chapter, 35. Well, once again, I think we'll make just one more. We'll make a D file out of this. Some people have a really hard time downloading these because their computers are very slow. Maybe they don't have a lot of money for one reason or another, but it's just too slow for them. It takes forever. They don't have a wideband or whatever these DSL modems are called or anything. They don't have that stuff like some of us do, and you got to have it if you're a preacher and you're uploading messages continually and so on. So for those out there that need a break, need a little fruit drink or something, we'll give you time to do that, and then come right back, please. Be here when everyone else is ready. And don't you guys start without them, okay? Don't start your singing and so forth until everyone is accounted for. And then we'll continue here with the what we call the fourth day of the Feast of Tabernacles about Isaiah. Isaiah is it definitely many, many scriptures referring to the last days and to the future, the Feast of Tabernacles, supping and dining with our Savior Yahweh in eternity. Shalom.